Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring!
There we go.
Hey!
Woohoo!
We're back. We're all rejuvenated. The election's gone. We're all feeling better. We're back on the old fun train.
I was waiting for you to say wagon, but fun train is way better.
Fun train destination.
I'm drinking coffee and eggnog, which Reese won't participate in with me.
I fully respect people who enjoy eggnog. Each to their own. Everyone's allowed to live the life they want to live, and if you're an eggnog drinker, I'm not judging you. It's just not for me.
I'm going to eat a Twix.
Yeah, Jesse's got four Twixes lined up on the table, almost as if, I don't know, as if he's planned them out, like one every 5 minutes or something. So, important news, I've got a big update on my the box stuff.
Right.
That happened.
Your driveway.
Yeah, yeah. So,
you want to recap for our if we've got some new listeners?
So,
hi, listeners, by the way. I'm Jesse.
I'm Reese.
This is Canadian Politics is Boring.
I'm going straight to the small talk. So, I had a bunch of boxes dumped at the end of my driveway. They had the name and address of a neighbor who lived about 5 minutes away. So I tracked them down online and found their details because their name and address and all their information was on these packages. And rather than shaming them on the resident site, calling the municipality to find them or anything like this, I just reached out to them and said, hey, aren't you afraid of identity theft? I've been able to contact you and find out all this information about you. I've got a picture of you now because... Da, da, da. Anyway.
That's very funny. You actually sent them this.
And they came back to me and they were like, I have no idea how the boxes got there. My husband... the woman who had messaged, her husband had left them on the end of the driveway. They'd vanished and they wondered where they'd gone. So I think what happens is some people go around looking through boxes to see if there's anything good in there and then they dump them at our place.
Why would they go to their driveway, look through their boxes, decide there's nothing good in them?
I think they pick them up rather than looking through them on the end of the driveway.
Oh, and they walk with
them.
And
then they dump them off. So somebody's going through all the garbage. So I said to my kids, I was like, this is a mystery. I said, we're all victims here. And it got me thinking about suburbia and the amount of crime in suburbia. So true crime is, everyone seems to love true crime. It's the number one genre of all podcasts of all time.
It's, well,
Sure. Okay. Yeah. That's true.
So I'm going to launch a new podcast.
Oh, good.
Called True Suburban Crime. Do you want to hear my trailer?
I do want to hear your trailer.
There you go.
Suburbia, a place where happy neighbors mow their lawns, kids sell overpriced lemonade, and Facebook resident groups act like secret police, maintaining peace and order. We all sleep soundly, knowing that extra 20-minute drive out of the city reduces our chances of getting murdered or tear-gassed. But what if under the facade of this middle-class heaven, darkness lurks? I'm Reese Waters, and on my new podcast, True Suburban Crime, I'll uncover the untold horrors that plague suburbia. From garden sheds flaunting planning guidelines to residents not cleaning up their miniature labradoodles' crap, clotheslines mocking local bylaws as they flap in the breeze, and the sheer terror of bored teenagers doing stuff. This show will chill you to the bone as we expose true suburban crime. Warning, not a real podcast, a thing Reese just made up for fun.
What do you think?
Yay!
I was playing again.
We're going to have to listen to it again.
A gap in the market.
I love it. I think you should, I know you said at the end it wasn't a real podcast, but I think you should make it like a limited series run. Like, just
if any listeners have been victims of suburban crime to the caliber of what we're, those issues are pretty extreme and life changing.
Yeah, maybe not some like super dark ones where like
I know people do get murdered in suburbia, but I thought it was fun to focus on the true suburban crime that nobody ever talks about.
Right, like graffitied butts on the side of cars.
Or I don't know.
Cardboard boxes left in people's driveways.
Exactly like that. So
I think you should make it a limited run, a limited series.
And the first episode is trying to solve the mystery of the dumped boxes at the end of the driveway.
So were you just about to ask our audience if they had any suburban crime stories that they
could be a guest.
Out?
I could interview them about their story.
Okay, so email us at CanadianPoliticsIsBoring@gmail.com. And if Reese decides that your story is good enough, maybe it'll go in as his new...
True Suburban Crime
podcast. Well, I seriously think you should do a limited run. Yeah. I do. I think... Just 10 episodes or something. I think that'd be really funny.
But yeah, and if you just want to be interviewed and make stuff up, that's fine too.
I could do that.
Sometimes. Yeah.
It also gave me like a great idea for a movie. I've been trying to think of a movie to write for a while now. And I think that like just the fact that you live in a suburban area and you have like, what do you have? Like a Facebook group?
Yeah, the Facebook group. And if anyone, I was joking about this with a friend. You hear a firework, you count to five, you go to the residents' Facebook group, and then a post appears going, who's launching fireworks at this time? And it doesn't matter what time you do launch fireworks off, it's never appropriate. It's either too early or too late, or my animals are scared, or I don't know, anything.
I just think the concept of having a group...
It's self-policing. You don't need the police anymore. Everyone polices. All you want to do is like have a mob to go to somebody's house for punishment, and that's the final step.
I lived in a house with like a lot of roommates before the place where I live now. A lot of roommates, and it was a big house. It was like a 6-bedroom house with 3 bathrooms. Like it was a big, big house. Yeah. A lot of roommates. So like if something was happening, it was difficult to tell where it was coming from and who was doing it because it was a big house, right? So, like, but we had an online, like a Facebook Messenger group just for the house. And it devolved into, like, just sheer madness. Like, it was the passive aggressiveness at its finest. And it got so bad, so bad. I eventually moved out. And then I moved into a new place and I had only 3 roommates, right? And I was telling them about our group messenger chat for the previous house. And one of my roommates, he looked at me, he's like, if you ever start a group chat for this house, I will kill you. And so we've never...
It's a good... Well, at least he drew a line in the sand.
Yeah.
That's a good way to start.
With murder.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about a story?
Oh, wait, do you have the ending to this yet?
That was the ending. that somebody else moved the boxes and the mystery continues.
I'm
going to investigate it with a new podcast.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Episode one is What Happened to the Fucking Boxes?
That's actually a great title. Do that. What happened to the fucking boxes?
Fucking boxes. My eldest son is obsessed with Sherlock Holmes. He loves like mysteries and things like that.
Yeah.
He watched Enola Holmes on Netflix.
Enola Holmes was great.
Yeah,
it was very fun.
Absolutely loved it. So he was down there with his magnifying glass looking for footprints.
Oh my God, that's so cute. So, listener, for taking so long just chatting here, but like it's been a while since. Reese and I kind of are back on the horse, and I just miss chatting.
It's nice, yeah. We just ignore each other until we hit record.
As much as possible. Yeah. Just like as soon as we stop recording, we divert eye contact, and I bolt out of the room as quickly as humanly possible, covering my ears.
We famously don't get on off the air.
I put the boxes in your driveway.
No, you remove them from somebody else's driveway. This'll mess with his head.
It worked.
Exactly.
You're starting a whole new podcast because of it.
He loves the True Crime podcast off the back of it. Anyway, this episode is called Reuse, Recycle, Dump, Forget.
Dump, Forget?
Yeah.
Dump.
Dump. Stop popping in the microphone. Dump, okay. Forget.
Dump.
Yeah.
a soft P.
So 3 years ago, 2018... the last, a lovely year before the world fell apart.
Mm.
The Philippines followed through on a threat to send 1,500 tons of illegally dumped rubbish back on a boat to Canada, ending a 6-year dispute between the two countries.
Hold on, what? Where do you find this shit? This is amazing.
Internet. So Canada lied. They sent 1,500 tons of refuse to the Philippines.
Why? What?
Because
where?
I'll go into it. So in 2014, to wind back to when the dispute started, 69 containers had been brought to the Philippines from Canada, falsely declared as recyclable plastic, but it was in fact electrical and rotten household waste.
This is from the Philippines?
Yeah. So a lot of Western countries don't keep their rubbish or their garbage in their own country anymore. They now export it to other countries. So recycling, for instance, will go to another country to be recycled.
Okay, I didn't know that. So if a country is like, we need to recycle all this garbage, we'll send it to this other country that recycles, and they just have a program. Do they, like, who, where does...
Well, it's kind of like...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you know like how like 50, 60 years ago, they would have just had a dump outside the city.
Right.
And they would have just put it there. And we've gone, oh, living standards are way better. Nobody lives near a dump anymore. If you look at it, essentially, we used to have all of our kind of like poverty and social problems. We're all within a country or a region. But instead, we've exported those problems to other countries. So what they've done is export that. What do we do with all the waste we produce to countries that don't have as much money who will take it off us cheaply as a source of income? So the idea of recycle, it was like, hey, this is recyclable plastic. Here's 69 shipping containers from Canada of stuff you can remake to do other things with. Turns out it was just goods and like food waste.
Oh, ugh. So hold on. So normally it's like a free exchange.
No. They sell the rubbish.
Are they actually...
Or they pay them to take it off them, sorry.
So like...
There'd be a value to it.
So like another country would sell us their plastic remains.
No, Canada exports all of it. It tends to be rich countries sell their rubbish to poorer countries.
Who can then recycle it for...
Well, they're supposed to be
able to. And then sell it.
Yeah, I'll get more into it. So
okay.
Wilma Eisma.
So hold on, I just want to kind of like get this idea. So like there's rich countries, middle class countries, and then poor countries, I guess. And then the rich countries will sell their recyclable materials to middle class countries who will then recycle that stuff and then sell it for a profit to other countries?
They'll make other things out of it.
Okay. So that's
what
we're...
Yeah. They just want to... Like Western countries just want to get rid of it.
I'm feeling really stupid.
It's like
today.
My brain is not
turned on yet. And
it's like a hand me down. It's like a hand me down kind of. You know, it's almost okay. It works for everyone,
right.
Apart from the people who end up having to live in
So Canada had quote unquote purchased, maybe not quote unquote.
No, they'd sold. Literally,
Canada, no, what?
So Canada had sold.
It's like a weird Abbott and Costello sketch. So,
I'll just read it and it'll explain everything, okay? So Canada had delivered 69 shipping containers.
Like we've got listeners who genuine, okay, well, like they're one-time listeners, and then they go, they leave a one-star angry review of how they can't believe how stupid I am. And it's just because I don't care about politics, and Reese like learns it just before he teaches me. But like this episode, I'm really coming across as a complete and total moron, and that's okay. I'll own that.
I'll just read it because it'll explain everything.
Okay.
You're trying to get me to explain the story now, but it's laid out in a way that will unveil.
I'm interrupting you in the middle of explaining the story to explain the story to me.
Explain the story to me now. I will. I'm trying. So. Oh, golly, Jesse. I've got some great news. We've had a fresh delivery from the ad man.
Gee whiz, Reese, really? From the ad man?
Smell them, they're fresh.
Oh, ads.
Can I talk about Wilma?
Like, from the Flintstones?
No, Wilma Eisma is the administrator of Subic Freeport. And she confirmed in 2018 that 69 containers of garbage had been loaded and sent to Vancouver.
From where?
From the Philippines, this port. So the dispatch of Canadian rubbish had been sitting in two Philippine ports since 2013 and 2014, and Canada refused to acknowledge the issue. They're like, here's your Canadian recyclables. Oh, look, it's worthless to us and also disgusting. Because imagine household food waste and electrical goods rotting for 6 years in 69 shipping containers.
And we bought this?
No, Canada dumped it in the Philippines.
Oh, this is our problem.
Yeah. This is
that we gave it to them.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, wow.
So it became...
Okay, and this is where it's starting to clear up for me.
And the environmental activists, including people from like Greenpeace and Eco Waste Coalition, said that they started a campaign with some banners on boats saying, Philippines, not a garbage dumping ground. So it's...
I mean, that's just a great slogan for any country.
Yeah.
Honestly.
So the Philippines,
if you want to raise your tourist dollar, like your tourist impact, that's a great slogan. Not a dumping ground.
It's like Halifax. Very few people get murdered.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Don't tell me you wouldn't want to visit.
I want to live in Halifax.
Is that your Canadian? You're working on your Canadian accent.
That was my No, that was good. That was like a chirpy American.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That'll work.
So the Philippines won a legal case in 2017, which ruled Canada had to take responsibility for the waste. But they still did nothing. And the Philippine president, Rodrigo Duterte.
What's his name?
Rodrigo Duterte. He's
this is a Filipino name.
He's a very aggressive leader who believes in the police should just be allowed to shoot drug dealers in the streets without kind of.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is the Philippines.
This is the Philippines. Yeah. Okay. So he took a very he's very hardline. He took a very personal interest in the saga, demanding Canada take back the waste or vowing to have it towed and dumped in Canadian waters.
I'm kind of with him on this.
On this occasion?
On this occasion.
Yes, he's hardline. Yeah. He's known for having murdered lots of people, but, you know.
That doesn't mean I'd vote for him.
No, even, even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Right, exactly.
So it got so bad that the Philippine government recalled its ambassador and consuls in Ottawa because they failed to comply with a May the 15th deadline to take it back. And apparently the relationship between Duterte and Trudeau was already tense because Trudeau had vocally criticized Duterte's violent crackdown on illegal drugs.
Oh my God, I know why you're telling me this story.
Do you?
Oh, this can't be a coincidence.
What are you talking about?
My piano, your office.
What about it?
You need me to take it back?
No, this is nothing to do with Jesse left his piano in my office during the live stream. No, this is not about this isn't
and I left it. It's been here for a month because I've been sick and I didn't want to come and infect the office.
This isn't a long-winded metaphor.
I thought it was. For a second, I'm like, oh, that's really clever.
Because in this story, I would
take your fucking piano home already.
In this story, Jesus. I would be Duterte, the hardline.
You would be.
If you don't take it home tonight, or I'm going to set fire to it in front of your house. So
it was just early. You were telling me that your business partner was begging me, not asking, begging me to take the piano.
It's taking up a whole desk. We don't have that many desks.
So, like, I know what I'll do. Don't worry. I'll do a podcast episode tonight where I do this like long winded story of how you shouldn't leave stuff at other people's place.
Yeah, this isn't 69 containers of household waste and electrical goods. So
I'll take the piano. Yeah. Okay.
True story. A woman, Kate, knocked on the door asking if she could buy it because she saw it through the window.
That's hilarious.
And her piano was just broken.
How much was she offering for? It's not my piano, I can't.
Anyway. So the Canadian government eventually contracted French shipping giant Belor Logistics Canada to return the shipping containers. But the president of the Philippines said refused, and they actually booked their own shipping company to take it because they didn't trust them to come and get it. She said, if Canada will not accept their trash, we will leave the same with it within its territorial waters. The president's stance is as principled as it is uncompromising. The Philippines is an independent sovereign nation and must not be treated as trash by other foreign nations. So, to give you a bit more context about it, so prior to the January 2018, Canada had shipped half of its recycling exports to China, which was about... which used to import 45% of the world's global waste.
Wow.
And it was mainly
to recycle and use and
It was plastic that was either burnt just for energy.
For shits and giggles.
Just burn plastic. I love burning
it's
plastic.
Horrible for everything.
Yeah. Involved. A bit of advice. Get a plastic water bottle, set it on fire, smell the fumes, right, go really deeply, and then nothing's the same ever again.
Yeah, because it's...
Don't do that.
That's horrible advice. That's incredibly toxic.
I know. It was a joke.
I can't tell with you anymore. Dear listener, please do not do what Reese just said.
Or recycling what they were supposed to. So, but China banned imports of 24 types of solid waste, including unsorted paper and all lots of different types of plastic, and mainly plastic bottles. So what happened was...
Yeah, so Canada needed a new place to dump it.
So Southeast Asia... they have lax environmental regulations.
Don't we have our own recycling plants? I don't get it. Like, aren't we recycling our own shit?
It wouldn't make sense. I don't see the environmental benefit of loading up into shipping containers and all that fuel expended on ships to take it other places.
Right?
Surely there's more useful stuff Canada can send to the rest of the world.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah. I don't get it.
I don't know, like 1,000 beavers or something. I don't know. Yeah. So the other countries had like more lax environmental...
You've been in Canada for way too long. It's the only thing you can think that Canada could export. Beavers.
What have we got that nobody else does?
Get rid of our fucking beavers.
So the waste is disposed of by dumping or burning it.
This is in the Philippines or in China?
This is so Malaysia, Indonesia, Vietnam, and the Philippines.
Okay.
Malaysia's intake of garbage rose from 168,000 tons in 2016 to nearly 500,000 tons in the first 6 months of 2018, because China said no more.
Hold on a second. Wait. These countries aren't recycling it? They're just dumping it or burning it?
I'll tell you what happens to it.
Countries like Canada will sell it to these countries, who will take the money and then just take it and dump it in a corner burn it.
So a significant percentage of this imported trash is composed of mixed municipal waste that cannot be recycled. Much of it ends up illegally incinerated on roadsides and dumped in unregulated landfills, where it releases highly poisonous fumes, is dumped in rivers where it finds its way to the oceans.
I love our fucking world. Oh my God.
It's a great system.
It's just a fucking fantastic place we live in. Oh, Jesus Christ.
I need a
Twix.
The Malaysian Prime Minister.
I need a candy bar from a corporate entity.
Just wait for that wrapper to end up in Malaysia.
So the
Malaysian Prime Minister, Mahathir Mohamad, has criticized the practice of wealthier countries such as the UK, United States, Canada, and China, because they send their non-recyclable waste and their recyclable waste to other places. They've also sent 3,000 tons of illegally imported plastic back to places like Spain, the US, China, Japan, France, and Canada, and it keeps to escalating. There were 265 containers of abandoned plastic waste illegally imported from Hong Kong, Canada, Belgium, Japan, Germany, and the US just sat in a port in Malaysia. And I love this. So when the Philippine government sent the ships back with the waste in, considering Canada ignored them for 6 years.
6 years?
Yeah.
I forgot you said that.
Do you want to know what the Canadian Environment Minister's response was?
Yes, please.
So Catherine McKenna welcomed the news of the waste being returned, telling reporters on Thursday, "We committed with the Philippines."
This Thursday?
No, this was like three years ago.
Okay, yeah.
"We committed with the Philippines and we're working closely with them." This is after the Philippines said, 6 years later, "We're just going to send it back."
Wow.
So I love the spin on that. We're really excited to get 69 containers of
pure trash
that has been baking in the Philippine sun for the last 6 years.
Oh my God.
I cannot wait.
I never thought of
Justin's
that.
Justin's going to go down and open them himself. Just try and stop him. It's like a kid on Christmas morning. So there we are.
I can't picture this. Just like trying to get a good PR spin on it, and Justin's going down to the docks. What am I opening again? What am I doing? Just put on a good happy face.
Takes his wife and his kids.
Yeah.
Nice photo opportunity. Yeah, the good. Paparazzi. There.
I wonder what we'll find. Yeah. It's just unlike. Like KD mac and cheese, and it hasn't even rotted. Still isn't decomposed.
Just try and stop him. Justin, you really should. No, I'm going. God damn it. Oh my God.
Oh, that was really funny.
So there we are. So, yay. So, the message I want everyone to take from this is please recycle. I got a better idea. Don't recycle your bottles with recycling. What you need to do is, because of global warming or the climate change and the sea levels rising, keep all your plastic bottles. Just tape them together to build a giant raft. Because by the time the sea levels rise from all the destroying and the
That's smart.
Temperature changes.
Yeah.
You then have some kind of galleon built out of Evian bottles.
That's great. If only the, you know, Tom Hanks had that in Castaway, like a metric container full of...
If Castaway was done today, there would be enough bottles washing up on the beach for him to do that anyway.
So. Or an entire shipping container.
Yeah.
That was just full of plastic container. Well, no, it wouldn't be plastic. It would be rotting.
Would it float? Would a shipping container full of plastic bottles float?
I mean, that's the age-old philosophical question, isn't it?
No one's there to watch it. Did you like that story?
I did. I kind of want to know what happened at the very, very end. Like,
I think they just didn't. They didn't want a lot of coverage, did they?
Right. No, I suppose that makes a lot of sense. What was the name of the?
If you've seen 69 shipping containers suddenly appear in your town somewhere,
I can't even imagine. How come there's not photos of this everywhere? Like, that's crazy.
Because I don't know. Like,
69 containers
3 years ago. I don't know.
That's amazing.
If you're in Vancouver and you want to go and look for them, it might make a good suburban crime episode.
There we go. Right. What,
ship container crime. True shipping container crime.
A spin-off.
Which if you've watched
the spin-off of the of Reese's new podcast.
Yeah. If you watch The Wire,
spin-off number 1. So
I'm already spinning off a spin-off.
Yeah, there you go.
It's just going to be 15 trailers of new spin-offs without ever making a thing.
What was the name of the environmental minister who said that she was working closely with the Filipino government?
The environmental minister who said she was working with the Filipino government and looking forward to it.
Yeah, looking forward.
To arrive in, that was Catherine McKenna. She might not be the environment minister now.
Let's see if we can find her on Twitter and
ask her what happened.
Yeah.
We'll look into it and we'll do another episode. We'll do an update.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Sure.
Okay, cool. Well, what's the call to action?
Oh, yes, right.
The call to action. Oh, yeah. I already did it. Make a galleon out of water bottles.
That's a big call to action. But it sure,
is.
Okay. You can make a raft of any size.
What can you make out of recyclable materials?
Oh, that's
send
a good one.
Send us a picture.
Oh, I like that. Send us a picture of what? Yeah. So it's like, it's Arts and Crafts Day.
Remember we had the cake made out of stationery?
That was amazing.
This is now make a waterborne craft from recyclables.
There you go. Anything you want. Yep.
Yeah, from like a raft or a galleon or a barge.
What is a galleon?
Like a giant wooden ship with cannons.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. That'd be impressive as fuck. That's
an angry man on the front going, charge! Or something.
If you do that, dear listener, you've won the internet.
You've won our acclaim.
Our respect.
Our respect. Yeah. If you want to win our respect, there's a new contest. Top prize is our respect.
Oh, don't forget there are new ringtones out on our website.
There are we're going to work on the personalized ones, but there are a shit ton of ringtones. They're ready to go.
Yeah, from our live show. And we just put a handful of them on our website, and they're available for everybody. You can download them, and some of them are ringtones, some of them are voicemail message, like leave a message at the beep, sort of. So that's not really a ringtone.
It's a voicemail
greeting. Yeah, but
the best one is
my favorite is
Prospector, Satan, and Bigfoot.
Yeah, I love that one.
That's by far the best. Yeah,
but cool. I kind of love the insight. If you were at the live stream, the other one is someone at a bingo hall. Calling out bingo numbers, and then
they get murdered at the end or something.
Well, the bingo hall catches fire is what I asked them to do at the end. Yeah. But like, if you didn't watch the live stream, you wouldn't know that. So just listening to this voicemail greeting is this guy, this bingo greeter, Liam Fair, who voiced it from Hello City, and he's just reading out bingo numbers, and then he asks you to leave a message. He reads out more bingo numbers, and then starts screaming in terror, and then it ends.
Exactly. Well, that's bingo for you. I'm going to go now. Thanks very much for listening.
That's how you know bingo is over.
Bye, everyone. Do you want to say bye, Jesse?
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th, at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.